We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics on this Saturday morning. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in St. Louis. And here with me is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky.
I didn't like my beard at first, then it grew on me.
Oh no, are we back to the...
Yeah, these are proper Lenten jokes, in accordance with Pope Aloysius III encyclical Humorius Lentatum Nohaha. So as long as they're not funny, we can do all of them we want.
They're up for grabs.
Yeah, I'm John Lukumsky. Was that brought up? I'm sorry.
You were too busy with the beard? Your beard's growing on you?
Yeah, I didn't like my beard at first, then it grew on me.
Yeah, very nice. Okay.
Holy cow.
Thank you. Pastor at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. and yes, we're here with Wrestling with the Basics. And we're wrestling with the story of the Transfiguration is where we left up. You know, England has no kidney bank, but it does have a Liverpool. Scratch that one off the list.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, that one does meet the criteria of the no laughing during Lent.
It does. No ha ha.
The no ha ha. Yeah.
These, by the way, ironically, these come from my father-in-law, Jerry Raymond. Yeah, he had sent these to me, you know, before his wife had passed away and everything. And
sure.
So just, you know, so I mean, it's
very nice.
In the midst of sadness, we can still have some joy and laughter
because
we're Christians. We know how it all ends up.
That's right. That's right. We know the end of the story. And, you know, if there's any listeners who have given up for Lent, laughter altogether, we are here to help. We are the show to listen to.
Exactly. I apologize for laughing because we're really here to help you not.
To not laugh.
Yes. Anyway, Transfiguration and this beautiful, beautiful insight given you by the Lord. And it is fun. It is fun. You know, you come to these texts, you've done them before, you think, what else is there to see? And then God interrupts us.
That's right.
He says, you haven't seen anything yet.
So last week we did talk about those interruptions, and the title of my sermon for Transfiguration was Divine Interruptions.
Is that right?
But we talked about last week on Wrestling with the Basics how at that Transfiguration, Moses, Elijah, Jesus speaking, and Peter interrupts them with the great idea of building shelters, of staying there. He doesn't like this talk, perhaps, about Jesus having to go to the cross. But then we see the interrupters interrupted, and God himself, that voice from heaven, the Father speaks and interrupts Peter and says those words, of course, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him, speaking of Jesus.
And you see, this is what I like about that thought, Matt. We read through the Bible and we think, we've got it. We know the story of the Transfiguration. Yeah, Jesus gets bright, he shines while he's there with Moses and Elijah. Yeah, big whoop to do. But see, I think every single word in the Bible has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I think the Spirit just kind of sits back and waits for us to think about it and ask questions and look at it closer. So as you pointed out, there's this little phrase and we just pass over it. I've passed over it for 35 years. As he was speaking, talking about Peter, as he was speaking, then the voice comes. And so, there's a point being made there. As we're doing our thing, we've got it all under control, got our plans figured out, and God comes in and interrupts us. That's exactly
the
thing.
He has a different plan, perhaps, than what our plans are.
And his plan at first may not seem like a good plan. Certainly with the loss of my mother-in-law, that does not seem like a good plan. But the more we've reflected on it and thought, man, no suffering, no sorrow, went to heaven, you know, within 24 hours' time in the blessings of eternal life. And the family knows that. That's one of the really great things about the Raymond family. They're all believers. God has blessed them with the baptism and with the supper and with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So think, how much? It couldn't get any better. It really could. Well, I guess she could have stayed around for another year. Mm-hmm. But knowing what she has now, no. I'm sure. Yeah. Now, would you like to know where the Lord led me with the story of the transfiguration?
Yeah, so let's talk about this from your perspective here, the same account.
And it is funny. Every year, the Lord kind of leads you in a different angle. Where he led me actually turned out to be really helpful in terms of the context of Katie dying, my mother-in-law. Because, see, what struck me as interesting about the text is that while we've never experienced anything like this, well, I mean, I haven't. You maybe have, Matt. Maybe you were one of the chosen ones that was taken up to the mountaintop. I was one of the guys that got left behind.
Left behind. Fooling around.
Quit making things up.
By the way, have you ever speculated why it was Peter, James, and John that got taken up to the mountaintop and got to go to see Jesus sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, witness the little girl being resurrected? Have you ever speculated about that?
Yeah, I wonder about that. John seems to be the disciple whom Jesus loves, even, he refers himself in that way. And Peter, of course, serves as a spokesman for the apostles. And even in the book of Acts, it seems as though Peter continues that role spokesman.
Isn't it ironically, the one that's always interrupting people, God still lets him be the spokesman.
Isn't that something? Yes, yeah. He has a purpose for Peter. And then, too, I think reflecting on this, these are future writers of books of the Bible, too. So to have that eyewitness account of things like the Transfiguration and the Garden and other things in Jesus' life, perhaps that's part of the purpose behind it, too.
Well, and you know, actually, now I'm thinking, did you see my brain? Did you hear the grinding? They make me wear a special helmet here in the radio station because otherwise the grinding of my brain actually drowns out the voice.
Yeah.
But I have a special insulated helmet I wear so you don't hear the grinding on the radio.
Yeah. You just wear that at the station? Or?
No, pretty much all over.
Yeah,
because otherwise it's really irritating.
Plane trips.
Yeah. What's that noise? But here's the thing. There's biblical affirmation of what you just said about Peter, because Peter is the one who writes in his letter and says, "Yeah, we saw this.
Yeah,
we are
eyewitnesses. There's something to that."
So that obviously works. That he was going to be recording this, and God wanted to be able to have someone say, "Hey, I was there. I saw it." My particular take on it was that these guys would all have particular challenges that the rest of the apostles wouldn't have, and that maybe they needed that little extra help, that little extra care, because yes, Peter will be the one that will record the eyewitness event in his letter, but he's also the one that will deny and betray the Lord Jesus.
Sure.
And so maybe he needed a little bit extra there because his great failure. You know what happens to James, don't you? He's the first guy to get martyred.
Yeah, first martyr. Yeah.
So I'm thinking that probably was really significant that he saw Jesus glorified on the mountain, because he might have very well lost his faith in that context. And then John, because of just the opposite problem, John's the one that lives. Matt's watching my little.
What is going on? Okay. Your bracelet.
You're
is lining
interrupting
up.
Me.
What is going on?
You're interrupting me.
Oh, your bracelet.
I know. That's my Nike Fuel Band. By the way, thank you, Nike.
What is going on?
And yeah, every 45 minutes into the hour, I'm supposed to get up and run.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's telling me.
Because you're here recording, and all of a sudden, these little bright letters, it says, "Go, John, go."
So as soon as I finish this thought, I'm going to run around the studio, and you'll have to take it for the next 10 minutes.
Do you take your helmet off when you run?
I don't know. Definitely not.
That's
another reason to have the helmet. So anyway, I think we just broke the no-ha-ha rule.
All right, now. There's no time for foolishness. Okay.
Thank you. John has the opposite problem. He's going to be the last man standing, and he's going to see the church go through all kinds of persecutions. He's going to see all kinds of heretics arise, and so anyway, that's been my thought.
Well, that's good. No, I like that. You know, certainly all the apostles face different challenges, but these three, these sort of unique challenges. I like that idea. Yeah.
So the next time God does something good for you, maybe watch out.
Oh boy, yeah.
Because
it just
may be.
You for?
Yeah, there may be exactly. What is He preparing us for?
Yeah.
What other challenges lie ahead? Anyway, back to the subject. So I was thinking that while we've never experienced this, And again, you never did clarify whether you have or hadn't. Have you ever had any really glorious experiences like this
in
your life?
The closest I ever got was when I served as a vicar in New Athens with Pastor Jai John Lakowski here. Every day was a mountaintop experience.
Gee. get in a more serious vein. For me, I think it was when my first child was born.
Oh, sure.
And that was just kind of a rush being in there in the, I got to actually be in the delivery room, and there was just something about that. Nothing like that has compared. The point was, I guess it's a little late for that. Where's that? That's on there. We need that.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And if the listeners have stuck with us, here's the point.
Okay. This is the pattern of life. It maybe isn't quite as dramatic as what we have here, but the pattern of life is we have all kinds of good things happening to us. It's good to be here. The birth of a child, birthday parties, graduations, weddings. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things that make us happy where we would say, like Peter, it's good to be here. But inevitably, these kind of things are followed by a cloud, and they're followed by things that trouble us. Or as it said here in Matthew, I was always struck by the fact they weren't just afraid, they were terrified.
Yeah.
And so that's what we talked about, that is the pattern of life. So if things are going along real well and all of a sudden something goes wrong, don't say, oh my goodness, have I sinned or is God punishing me? But it's just kind of how things work for sinful people in a sinful world, which leads us then to why the text says what it says at that point. Can I read those last verses again? So we've had the transfiguration. We've had Peter with his foolishness. Although, isn't it interesting, Matt, that Peter himself, I think, realizes that things have to come to an end, doesn't he? Because what's he want to build for Matthew Jesus?
And, he wants to build tents. Yeah. So not permanent buildings, but just these temporary shelters, tents.
So even he realizes that it can't go on forever. But anyway, after they have been terrified, it says that the voice came, "This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased, listen to him." But then what I really like is, "But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear."
Yeah.
See, that's why you need to listen to him, because this is what he's going to tell you. Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the thing. When these twists and turns come into our life, just listen to what the Father told us. Although I really appreciated your insight that it's actually God that kind of disturbed us in the first place. You know, he's the one that interrupted our life, put an obstacle there, put a death there. Strangely enough, it's his actions that maybe caused us to be frightened and worried. And yet his advice to us in the midst of that is to just listen to his son, because Jesus always has the same message. When you listen to Christ, the message is, have no fear. And the thing that touched me, as your words touched me last week, is that Jesus does touch us, doesn't he?
Yeah, you bet. Even today.
Yeah, in the baptism, in the Holy Supper, we actually get our lips touched with his body and blood. We hope and pray that despite our foolishness, that his words are touching the ears and hearts of people even this very moment. And again, the message is always the same, do not fear. Now, do you want to know what my problem is with that, though, Matt?
Uh-oh. Okay. What's the problem?
Well, think about it. What do you mean to tell these guys have no fear? From here, it's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Right? From the Mount of Transfiguration, and we're in the middle of Lent, we know where it's all going to end up. He's going to be on a cross. He's going to be turned over to sinful men, beaten, mocked. They're not going to deal with it real well. They're not going to be the bastions of faith, these great, courageous Christian followers. They're going to fold and deny him and betray him and abandon him. So where in the world does Jesus have the right to say, have no fear? Yeah. And I was kind of thinking that in the context of my mother-in-law passing away. You know, it was easy for me as a Christian pastor to say that. But no, at that point, we were frightened and we were sad. So what right do you have to say, have no fear? So have you ever wrestled with that, Matt?
Yeah. Well, it's tough. I mean, because there are times in lives where we are fearful. And even death especially, it's not something that's good. I mean,
no.
I think we need to recognize that, too, that death is a bad thing. It's not what God intended for us originally. And it's a result of sin. So, yeah, it is kind of something that does make us feel uneasy or, I don't know, I guess we could even say fearful in many ways. But yet, in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because you're with us. And that's what I really like in this account is when they look up and who's there? I love that line, Jesus only Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us, was still with them. Right after he says, have no fear, he's with them. And because he's with them, they need not fear. And I think the same for us too, because the Lord is with us, even in this valley of tears, of the shadow of death, he's still with us.
And now you got me thinking again, which can be dangerous. And I'm going to say something here, and I hope it doesn't sound too radical. But when it's all said and done, all we need is the Lord Jesus. Now, at first, I know people think, well, of course, you know, you don't need your cars and you don't need your TV sets, and that's a pastor. Oh, all we need. No, but I'm thinking even beyond this. Moses, Elijah, even the voice of God from heaven, you don't need those things. You need Jesus and Jesus' word. Now, of course, when you have Jesus and Jesus' word, you get all that stuff back.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you find out that the voice from heaven, which seems so terrifying. In fact, remember the whole thing in the Old Testament when God came down on Mount Sinai? You go talk to him, Moses. We don't want to talk to him with the lightning and the thunder and the smoke and the fire. Mm-hmm. So, when you got Jesus alone, then you get the God back, and he's not scary or frightened anymore, but he's the Abba. He's the Father. This is a good thing. We can actually talk to him. We don't have to have somebody else talk for us. We want to talk to him. He's our beloved Father. We get these guys back, Moses, and again, Moses with all of his commandments, as you were pointing out. And at best, the commandments can do, as you illustrated so beautifully last week, is make us realize we're interrupting God all the time.
Yeah.
You know, he's come. No, God, that's not really. But then again, with Jesus, we get Moses back and realize, okay, yeah, you were just trying to lead me to see I'm a sinner so I can rejoice in the fact that Jesus comes and suffers and dies for me. Same thing with the prophets. Why are the prophets significant? Because they told us about some things that were going to happen to Israel before they happened? No, that's not what makes the prophets significant. It's because they were telling us about Jesus Christ who was coming to be the Savior of the world. So, thank you, Matt, for getting me to think
about this. Well, and then I think the Father's words confirm that. What does he say? This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.
Yeah.
And again, acknowledging all we need is Jesus. We need his Son. That's what the Father says. That's what he tells us here.
And Moses tells us the same thing, right? He says, there's going to be somebody that's come after me.
Sure.
This is the guy you ought to be listening to. And I'm sure Elijah, we could probably find something in Elijah, too, where he's pointing and directing us to the one who is to come.
That's why Moses and Elijah existed, if we could say that. You know, that's what their ministry was about. It was about pointing people, as you pointed out, to Jesus, ultimately to the Savior.
And now you're reminding me that that's what our job at KFUO is, not to do stupid jokes, although you get that in the package.
Yeah. For good or bad.
For good or bad. But to keep directing people's attention to that one Jesus Christ with his consistent message, have no fear, that he can legitimately speak to us because he is the one who is going to suffer and die on the cross for us.
Yeah.
There is a legitimate reason to fear. There's many legitimate reasons to fear. We live in a sinful world. There is a devil who is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And isn't it crazy that in the ways of the church, we do the story of Transfiguration, and then what's the story we do the very next week?
The temptation, right?
Yeah.
In the wilderness. Yeah.
Bring him out. Yeah. Which, see, that always struck me as crazy, too. So Jesus comes to be baptized, and again, you got the voice saying, this is my beloved Son, right?
Yeah.
And what's the first thing that happens to him? He gets drug out in the wilderness, goes hungry for 40 days, starved to death, and then fighting the devil.
Yeah.
This is what it is to be a son of God.
Well, and what does the devil say in his temptation in the wilderness?
Yes!
He starts those temptations by saying, if you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. So really challenging, right off the bat, challenging what the Father just confirmed at Jesus' baptism, that this is his Son.
And what an appropriate time to challenge him, because he's starving.
Yeah.
Is that what a Son of God is? If you really are the Son of God, would he let you out in the wilderness for 40 days and not give you anything to eat? Mm-hmm. I don't think you're the Son of God. How could he treat you that way if you were?
Well, and to derail Jesus from what he's come to do.
Oh,
you know, he, in the wilderness, he came to do what Israel didn't do for 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus does in 40 days. He remains faithful to the Father. when Israel didn't, again and again, they grumble against him.
And you know, the irony is God did feed the children of Israel in the wilderness.
I know, they
didn't
food.
Go hungry for 40 yeah. days, and they still didn't trust yeah. in the Lord, but grumbled, yeah.
So this
yeah.
Israel reduced to just one guy, a guy named Jesus Christ, who does what Israel couldn't do. He remains faithful, even under worse circumstances, no food at all. He remains faithful. He is that faithful son that Israel couldn't be.
And now we've gone again from preaching to meddling because you're
because,
right.
Yes.
We're grumbling. We're complaining. Yeah. We're thinking, man, how expensive the airline tickets are to go down to Florida for the funeral. And boy, what is this that all of a sudden she dies like this? We don't get any preparation. And of course, like you're saying, the Lord's saying, look, I'm taking care of you. I'm taking care of her. In fact, I've finally fulfilled what I told her I was going to do when she was baptized, that she would live and she would have people to love and care for. And at the end, she would be where I'm at in the mansions that I prepared for her, you know. So yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. Matt, it's a neat thought, and it is the reason Jesus can say to you and me in the midst of our fears, fear, have no fear, because he suffered and died. There is no sin that you and I have committed, no doubt that you and I have had that's going to separate us from God, from the love of the Father. And in the end, there is resurrection and there is ascension. That's exactly what. So the worst thing that could happen to you and me, that we would die this very day, and that actually ends up being the very best thing that
yeah.
could happen to you and me. Probably not for our families.
Yeah.
No, they would be incredibly sad. So we'll stick around. That's my plan.
Yeah, God willing.
Okay,
but yeah, it kind of comes full circle because that, and we talked about this a little before we started recording, but the idea of Jesus being confirmed as the Son of God here at the Transfiguration yeah. now, just as he was at his baptism, and then again, just as the devil questioned it in the wilderness during the temptation, when you get to the cross, not too long from the Transfiguration,
yeah.
that question again, if you are the Son of God, this time it's not turn stones into bread, but it's come down off the cross.
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't, you know, and the reason he doesn't come down is because he is that Son of God, so that he dies in our place to forgive us, to give us that life, so that we need not fear death and all those other things you just talked about, all because the Son of God did his job as the Son of God.
And so to be sons of God, which we are all, because that's what God has said. Jesus has taught us we can pray to our Father, which makes us sons and daughters then. But see, you're right. We want to avoid that. We want to avoid the sacrifice. We want to avoid the costs that are involved in following Jesus and taking up the cross. We are not always the sons and daughters we should be, but you're absolutely right, Matt. Jesus Christ was, and he was for us and in our place, which is why I'll say it one last time. He can come and tell us, even in our weakness and our doubt and our failing, even in our fears, have no fear, because there really isn't a reason to fear. So,
that's right. Good.
Well, Matt, where do you think we should go from here? You don't
good
have the
question.
Slightest idea.
Not whatever you want to do.
I don't either.
You know, yeah, we'll have to talk about it. But you know, one thing that came to my mind too was you talked about new insights every
yeah,
time we
yeah.
read the Word, and even a familiar passage like John 3:16, which we both
yeah.
preached on, or at least preached in that context this past week. You know, always new insights there too. And my wife had an English teacher in college. I think it was Shakespeare, and he said, you know, you read Shakespeare again and again and again. Yeah, go ahead.
Shakespeare was her English teacher?
No, well, he's talking about Shakespeare.
Oh, the teacher was talking about Shakespeare.
Pretty
for
remarkable.
A moment, I thought, really? I didn't think she was that old.
That would have made from some really good radio if that was the case.
I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. You know, the point that you read Shakespeare again and again because, you know, even though Shakespeare never changes, you change in the way you know. And I think there's some truth to that in the Bible. God's word never changes. No. But our stations in life do. And our vocations maybe even change in life. And to always be in God's word because of that, always to be fed by it, even though it doesn't change, its meaning doesn't change yet, you know, our lives do change. And we need that constant constant feeding, constant strengthening, and maybe even a new perspective.
And that's the neat thing about being a pastor too, because that's the same way every Sunday. We got a different group
yeah.
of people, different situations for them, and so the Word comes and speaks to them as well. Thank you, Matt. It's been fun these last two
weeks. Yeah, you bet. The Transfiguration. It's been a good discussion. Hope our listeners enjoyed it too.